Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hadding, pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church. Also,
hello.
Rob Hadding. I'm the pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Sulphur, Louisiana. We also are your pro tem elders, and it is a great joy for us to be here today to install. Kind of like an appliance, we're going to install Pastor Dane Johansson as the pastor of Church of the Triumphant King in Weatherford, Texas, and it is a good day. So, officially, we are making the announcement that Pastor Dane has received and has duly accepted the call as pastor of Church of the Triumphant King, and so we are here today to celebrate that. And we're going to begin by singing Rise Again, Ye Lion-Hearted on the back of your bulletin. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this occasion when we join a pastor to a people, when we will say words and make vows. And at the end, it will be a pastor and his congregation moving forward for the sake of your kingdom. Father, we pray your blessings on our time together. We pray that you would bless this man, that you would bless this congregation, and that you would do so for the glory of your name and for your kingdom and for our joy. And we pray this in the name of and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, the first five verses. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to be looking to my left quite a bit because that's where Dane is, and a lot of what I have to say pertains directly to him. But then I'm going to be looking at all of y'all in a little bit because I've got things to say to you. So listen. The Apostle Peter's pastoral metaphor paints a beautiful picture of the relationship between a pastor and the congregation. In referring to the elders, the presbyteros, as shepherds, he is pointing to the nature of the pastor's work, one who leads and feeds and protects the flock. Today, we are installing Pastor Dane Johansson to be the shepherd of this flock, the congregation of Church of the Triumphant King. When we think of all of the prestigious vocations in the world, I doubt that shepherd comes immediately to mind to most people. It's certainly not glamorous work. It is demanding, it is dirty, it is difficult, and it is often very dangerous. On top of that, it can be pretty lonely work, just a man on the hillside with a bunch of sheep. And all of these things can and very often do apply to the work of the pastor. But I would like to argue for just a moment that the work of the pastor is the most important work there is. This is because pastors have the solemn duty of tending to the people of God in the most intimate of ways, knowing them, instructing them, helping them in their walk to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. It is for the church that our Savior gave up his life, and pastors are charged with tending that body with diligence and with sacrifice. It may not be glamorous work, but that's okay, because glamour is stupid. Now we're talking. But it is important work. It is meaningful work, and it is work that is of eternal consequence. It's interesting that Peter begins this section by identifying with the elders, with the pastors to whom he writes. He is giving instruction from firsthand knowledge of the Lord and of the work of the shepherd. You'll remember in John 21, there's this interesting exchange between Jesus and Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, in which Jesus is unwinding Peter's denial of Jesus three times, and that was on the eve of his crucifixion. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus has a conversation with Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, who was a fisherman by vocation, was now given instruction as a shepherd. "Feed my lambs, tend, guard, protect my sheep, feed my sheep." And Peter would become acutely aware of the trials and the hardships of the life of a shepherd. It would be because of his work as a shepherd of God's flock that he would be led to his death. And I will come back to that in a moment. In his instructions in 1 Peter 5, there is this series of couplets, contrasting couplets. And his instructions begin with, "To the elders, to the shepherds among you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." That's the first one. The second one is, "Not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you." The third one, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, "Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Deign your work is to shepherd the flock of God where you are. This church, in our time, this needs to be emphasized more than at any other time in history. We live in a time in which everyone with an internet connection is vying to be a celebrity and an authority, and pastors are not immune to that. But Dane, you are not called to pastor the internet. You are called to pastor the Church of the Triumphant King in Weatherford, Texas. It is an embodied relational job that you have to do. It's not for the out there, it's for the right here with these people. Resist the siren call of clicks and likes in the name of reaching the world for Jesus. Reach Church of the Triumphant King. Shepherd them, feed them, protect them, lead them. It will be better for your soul, and it will be better for this church if the internet never knows your name. Glory in obscurity, trusting that our Lord will use your labor in ways that you will never be able to imagine. As you tend this flock, you will find that you have been given enough to do without the pressures of trying to manage and shepherd other people's flocks. His second exhortation is that you do this willingly, not because anyone is forcing you. Now, there may well be days that you are less willing to do this work because it is hard, it's lonely, and all the rest of it. But even in those moments, remind yourself that you have chosen this work as a means of serving our Lord, and do not grow weary of doing good in this work. Further, as attested to you by those who know you, you are called to this work by God Himself. Do this work as unto Him. Do this work giving thanks, even for the difficulties, even for the suffering that will go with the work, and there will be suffering. Plenty of suffering. Probably not unto death, but maybe. Are you feeling encouraged yet? I'm an encourager. The work of the ministry is full of suffering, and why on earth would we expect it to be anything other than that? Pastors are, after all, leading God's people into maturity, and the path to maturity is through suffering. You don't get to maturity without suffering. You don't get to Christ-likeness without suffering. And your job is to lead these people through suffering, which means you go through suffering yourself. And not only you, but your wife, Allison, you get some too. And your children. It's just the way it is. And I'm sorry. Not sorry. It is for your good. It is for the good of the kingdom. It is for the good of Church of the Triumphant King. The sentence that immediately precedes chapter 5, verse 1 is, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This whole little chunk that we're talking about is written in a context that is, all of this passage is surrounded by suffering. That's what this passage is designed to do. It's designed to help shepherds understand that they're doing this work in light of suffering. Later in 5:10, he says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. If Jesus suffered, if the apostles suffered, and the saints in history have suffered, why should we expect that we would not suffer, especially those who lead God's people? Nevertheless, the good shepherd, not the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd of quality, the shepherd who knows, he understands whom he serves, and he is eager to serve his master by serving his people. What higher calling is there than that? What task more noble? What work so important? We serve because it pleases our Lord, and that pleases us. And just as you do the work of a shepherd not for fame and glamour, neither do you do it as a means of getting rich. Now, there have always been peddlers of God's word. There have always been those who would try to enrich themselves at the expense of God's people. Live contentedly with what God provides and be eager to shepherd these people. This is the work He has given you to do. This is how much He's given you to work with. Be grateful. And His final exhortation is that the shepherd should not be domineering over the flock, but should lead by example. The manner of your life, as Paul instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, is of deep importance. The way you live, not just the way you study, not just the way you preach, not just the way you do counseling, but the way you live your life is of deep importance. Paul says to Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. We don't want to spend our lives sitting in hard chairs, being just miserable human beings and all of that. But we must be careful men. We must be the kind of men who know who we are, we know our strengths, and we know our weaknesses, and we conduct our lives in such a way as to bring honor and glory so that when people look at our lives, they'll say, I want to be like that. If you lose control of your own life, and if your teaching is not anchored solidly in the text of Scripture, your ministry will become a vaporous apparition. It will mean nothing. Rather than leading the flock into godliness and righteousness, you will lead them, if they even follow you, onto the cliffs or into the dens of wolves. Watch your life and your doctrine. When you work, work diligently. When you pray, pray fervently. When you sing, sing robustly. When you laugh, laugh from your belly. When you suffer, suffer well, knowing that the Lord is working in you and in your life and in the life of your flock as you do so. And the promise for all of this, the promise, according to Peter, is that this work well done will be rewarded by the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, with an unfading crown of glory. The work of the shepherd is very hard work. For Peter, he was told that he was going to be carried away to where he did not want to go, his arms outstretched, signifying by what death he would die. And it is in connection with his calling as a shepherd of the flock of Jesus. But Peter, as he began this section of the letter, says that he is a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. And this echoes Paul in Romans 8, for I consider the sufferings of this present time that are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. So there is suffering, but on the other side of suffering is a crown. On the other side of suffering is glory. And so go through it, brother. Don't try to go around it. Don't try to go over it or under it. You go straight through it, and on the other side, there is a crown. Peter's next move is to talk to y'all. So here we go. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The word Peter uses for the pastor here is elder. When he says, you who are younger, it's likely that he doesn't just mean people who are of a younger chronological age than the pastor. It's in contrast to the elder. So you have this hierarchy that is established after a fashion. And when the elder implies those who are given oversight, the presbyteros, the shepherd. And the posture of the flock here is one of submission. Congregations are to be in submission to their pastors. Now, in our time, when someone talks about submission, it almost always dies the death of 1,000 qualifications. Submission, yeah, but. Nobody says I'm supposed to be. I don't have to submit all the time. What if he's not blah, 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 blah. Shut up. We are a culture that hates submission. We're Americans, darn it. And not only that, we're Texans. Or Cajuns. Brothers forever. Nobody is the boss of me. That's how we live. But listen, the Bible is clear about different roles in different relationships, and the notion of authority and submission comes up all the time. Without authority and submission, there will only be chaos and anarchy. And that is no bueno. Just as children are to be in subjection to their parents, as wives submit to their husbands, as the church submits to Christ in everything, as slaves submit to their masters, so also are congregations, our flocks, to submit to their shepherds. In Hebrews 13:7, we read, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Be like them." And this corresponds nicely with Peter's exhortation to the shepherds that they are to be examples to the flock. And then a few verses down, we read this. You can parse this any way you like. It means exactly what it sounds like it means. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Obey your leaders and submit to them because they are keeping watch over your souls. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give account for you. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, because that would be of no advantage to you. If you are bent on making your pastor's life miserable, if you are bent on being stiff-necked, if you are bent on always getting your way, your opinions and your preferences dominate the way you do things, and you're just not going to listen to anything else, you are going to make your pastor's life miserable, and that doesn't work for you because his job is to tend to you. The shepherd has work to do, and you are that work. If you are chronically uncooperative or grumbling or throwing obstacles in his way, you are making his life exponentially harder, and that works against you. Will you have things to do that you don't want to do? Probably. So what? Will you sometimes not get your way? Yep. Welcome to the way the world works. But if you are humble, both shepherd and flock, not seeing your opinions and your preferences as the center around which the whole world turns, there is the promise. You are promised God's grace. Did you catch the last phrase in the paragraph? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The reward for humility is the grace of God. The consequence of pride is God's opposition. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I have learned both through study and experience. If God opposes you, you ain't going to win. It doesn't go your way. You do not want the God who spoke the universe into existence, the one who upholds the world by the word of his power, you do not want him opposing you. And this submission to the shepherd can easily be shown to Paul's corresponding exhortation to the shepherd. He says first, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. So I said to Pastor Dane, don't try to pastor the internet. Don't try to be a social media superstar. The corresponding exhortation to you is, Pastor Dane is your pastor. And Pastor Dane is a better pastor for you than Douglas Wilson. He is a better pastor for you than Yuri Brito. He is a better pastor for you than Rob Hadding, John Piper, John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul. Line up your list of heroes. He is a better pastor for you than they because he is the one who is here. If you spend all of your time chasing internet pastors, looking for the next new idea, trying to get that next theology buzz or whatever it is you're after, you may very well be undermining the work of your shepherd. He is to shepherd you, and you are to be shepherded by him. That doesn't mean that you have to go home and turn off your internet forever. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that ecclesiastically, in your life as a congregation, he is your shepherd. be overseeable, be leadable, be teachable, be open and eager to grow and walk in the paths of righteousness. And just as Pastor Dane is told to not do this under compulsion but willingly, you must be the kind of congregation that makes his work joyful. Make Dane's life a labor of love. And when you do, I promise you that he's going to work harder on your behalf. He is going to minister better. He is going to minister with greater joy, and everybody is happier. Pastor Dane was told not to do this for shameful gain, but eagerly. And just as Dane should not be in this for the money, you should always be mindful to make sure that he doesn't have to worry about money. Pay him too much. Somebody said preachers are supposed to be humble and poor. And one guy said, well, we'll keep him humble, God will keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. That's not the way it ought to go. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And double honor is a reference to money. Pay him twice. Not ever, but twice at a time, right? John MacArthur one time, his elders called him in and they said, Pastor John, we're going to give you a raise. And MacArthur reportedly said, I make enough money already. I don't need any more money. And they said, we know. Well, why don't you use it for some other thing? Use it for a mission project. Use it for something. No, we want to give it to you. Well, I don't need it. I don't want it. Okay, fine. We want to see what you do with it. We want to see how you manage this abundance. That's a good story. A pastor who is well regarded and well paid and well followed will be a shepherd who is eager to do his work well. Are there dangers in that? Yes, of course there are dangers in that, but everything is dangerous. Twinkies are dangerous. Words are dangerous. Ideas are dangerous. Marriage is dangerous. Children are dangerous. Everything's dangerous. That doesn't mean that we avoid those things. It means that we do those things well. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock was the charge that was given to Dane. The charge to you is have high expectations of your pastor. Expect big things from your pastor. And when you see him working to live well, when you see him working to suffer well, when you see him working very hard to do all of the things that he is tasked with doing, when you see him doing that well, you follow him. That's what God has given him to you for. Pastor Dane, saints of Church of the Triumphant King, today begins what we all pray will be a long and joy-filled relationship between God's man and God's people. Invest yourselves, all of you, heavily into this relationship for your good and for your joy, knowing that we are God's people. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We are God's people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. And so let us be that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. At this time, I am going to ask Pastor Dane to come up here, as well as Pastor Neil and Elder James Neighbors, if you all would come up here. Stand here, and y'all would come on this side. We're going to ask Pastor Dane to take some vows, and you have those vows in front of you. And so if you'd like to read along, please do. Come forward just a little bit. Pastor Dane Johansen, do you commit yourself to this new trust and responsibility in the confidence that it comes from God through the call of the church?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you believe the Bible, the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, are the inherent Word of God, fully authoritative, and the only infallible rule of faith and practice? And do you promise to be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and in your use of the means of grace?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the doctrinal standards of this church as essentially containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of this system of doctrine, you will, on your own initiative, make known to your session the change which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this installation?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you, as a fellow minister of this church and as a member of the session of elders, commit yourself to the duties of oversight, care, protection, and provision of this flock, knowing that our Lord has commanded that we feed and tend the sheep?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you promise to love, serve, and pray for God's people, nourish them with the word and sacraments, and lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you accept the office of minister in this church and promise to faithfully perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set a worthy example before the church of God, the church of which God has made you an overseer?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
May the Lord, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And just everybody stand by. Congregation of Church of the Triumphant King, do you receive Pastor Dane Johansen as a messenger of Jesus Christ sent to serve all people with the gospel of hope and salvation? And do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love? Do you promise to assist him in his labors for your instruction and spiritual edification, to pray for him and honor him for his work's sake, and in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help us.
Will you yield him all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which his office, according to the word of God and the constitution of this church, entitles him? Do you promise to maintain him and his family with whatever you may see needful for the honor of his office and for his comfort among you?
We do, and we ask God to help us.
Amen. Dane, if you would kneel, please, and Mr. Neighbors. And
join me in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, grant your servant, Dane Johansen, the blessing of your guiding presence. May your Holy Spirit go before him, flank him, and follow him. May your Holy Spirit mark his steps and labors such that he glorifies Christ and not himself. Provide for your servant a single-minded focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified. May Dane have a greater concern for your son than for his studies, a greater focus on the Redeemer than his reputation. And finally, Lord, we ask that you grant protection for your servant Dane and his household and this congregation, protection from evil and the evil one. May Dane be preserved from the snare of the fowler and protected from the ancient accuser. May he be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own, one which is worthy of condemnation, but rather a righteousness which is found in Christ, who has taken our condemnation upon himself. For we pray in Christ's name and for his sake, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Pastor Johansen, you have been called to serve among us as fellow ministers of word and sacrament, and this is a high calling and cannot be pursued or practiced apart from the provision and power of the Holy Spirit. As a servant of the Lord, may you be found to be a good and faithful servant. And may our Lord bless you and prosper your labors in accordance with his love for his bride. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Church of the Triumphant King, we present and ask you to welcome your new pastor, Pastor Dane Johansen.